ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome back to the Govardhan Live Studios here in downtown Govardhan Hill.
Booming downtown in Govardhan. Part of the city.
Thanks for joining us back here. Wherever you may be online, we feel your presence. We deeply appreciate you tuning in to hear the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam. At our last break, we finished up with His Holiness Kesha Bharti Maharaj reading in a marathon style all the way up to chapter 24 of the fifth canto, where we're taking it up now, at the subterranean heavenly planets. Mm-hmm. Who would ever known there is such a thing? And here it is at text number one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, some historians, the speakers of the Puranas, say that 10,000 yojanas below the sun is the planet known as Rahu, which moves like one of the stars. The presiding deity of that planet, who is the son of Shimhika, is the most abominable of all asuras. But although he is completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or planetary deity, he has achieved that position by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later I shall speak further about him." Text 2. The sun globe, which is a source of heat, extends for 10,000 yojanas. The moon extends for 20,000 yojanas. And Rahu extends for 30,000 yojanas. Formerly, when nectar was being distributed, Rahu tried to create dissension between the sun and moon by interposing himself between them. Rahu is inimical toward both the sun and the moon, and therefore he always tries to cover the sunshine and moonshine on the dark moon day and full moon night. Purport. As stated herein, the sun extends for 10,000 yojanas, and the moon extends for twice that, or 20,000 yojanas. The word dvadasha should be understood to mean twice as much as 10 or 20. In the opinion of Vijayadwaj, the extent of Rahu should be twice that of the moon, or 40,000 yojanas. However, to reconcile this apparent contradiction to the text of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vijayadwaj cites the following quotation concerning Rahu: Rahu Soma Ravi Nam Tu Mandala Dwi Gunoktitam. Gunoktitam. This means that Rahu is twice as large as the moon, which is twice as large as the sun. This is the conclusion of the commentator Vijayadwaj. 3. After hearing from the sun and moon demigods about Rahu's attack, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu engages his disc, known as the Sudarshana Chakra, to protect them. The Sudarshana Chakra is the Lord's most beloved devotee and is favored by the Lord. The intense heat of its effulgence, meant for killing non-Vaishnavas, is unbearable to Rahu, and he therefore flees in fear of it. During the time Rahu disturbs the sun and moon, there occurs what people commonly know as an eclipse. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always the protector of his devotees, who are also known as demigods. The controlling demigods are most obedient to Lord Vishnu, although they also want material sense enjoyment. Then that is why they are called demigods, or almost godly. Although Rahu attempts to attack both the sun and the moon, they are protected by Lord Vishnu. Being very afraid of Lord Vishnu's chakra, Rahu cannot stay in front of the sun or moon for more than a muhurta, 48 minutes. This phenomena that occurs when Rahu blocks the light of the sun or moon is called an eclipse. The attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to the moon is as demoniac as Rahu's attack. Of course, their attempts will be failures because no one can enter the moon or sun, so easily. Like the attack of Rahu, such attempts will certainly be failures. 4. Below Rahu, by 10,000 yojanas, are the planets known as Siddhaloka, Charnaloka, and Vidyadharaloka. Purport. It is said that the residents of Siddhaloka, being naturally endowed with the powers of yogis, can go from one planet to another by their natural mystic powers without using airplanes or similar machines. 5. Beneath Vidyadharaloka, Charnaloka, and Siddhaloka, in the sky called Antariksha, are the places for enjoyment for the yakshas, rakshasas, vishachas, ghosts, and so on. Antariksha extends as far as the wind blows and the clouds float in the sky. Above this, there is no more air.
Outer space. Text 6. Below the abodes of the yakshas and rakshasas, by a distance of 100 yojanas, 800 miles, is the planet Earth. Its upper limits extend as high as swans, hawks, eagles, and similar large birds can fly. Text 7. My dear King, beneath this Earth, there are 7 other planets, known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala. I have already explained the situation of the planetary systems of Earth. The width and length of the seven lower planetary systems are calculated to be exactly the same as those of Earth. Text 8. In these 7 planetary systems, which are also known as subterranean heavens, Bila Swarga, there are very beautiful houses, gardens, and places of sense enjoyment, which are even more opulent than those in the higher planets, because the demons have a very high standard of sensual pleasure, wealth, and influence. Most of the residents of those planets, who are known as Daityas, Danavas, and Nagas, live as householders. Their wives, children, friends, and society are fully engaged in illusory material happiness. The sense enjoyment of the demigods is sometimes disturbed, but the residents of these planets enjoy life without disturbances. Thus, they are understood to be very attached to illusory happiness. Purport. According to the statements of Prahlad Maharaj, material enjoyment is Maya Sukha, illusory enjoyment. A Vaishnava is full of anxieties for the deliverance of all living entities from such false enjoyment. Prahlad Maharaj says, Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvahato Vimudan. These fools, Vimudhas, are engaged in material happiness, which is surely temporary. Whether in the heavenly planets, the lower planets, or the earthly planets, people are engrossed in temporary material happiness, forgetting that in due course of time they have to change their bodies according to the material laws and suffer the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. Not caring what will happen in the next birth, gross materialists are simply busy enjoying during the present short span of life. A Vaishnava is always anxious to give all such bewildered materialists the real happiness of spiritual bliss. Text 9. My dear King, in the imitation heavens, known as Bilvaswarga, there is a great demon named Maya Danava, who is an expert artist and architect. He has constructed many brilliantly decorated cities. There are many wonderful houses, walls, gates, assembly houses, temples, yards, and temple compounds, as well as many hotels serving as residential quarters for foreigners. The houses for the leaders of these planets are constructed with the most valuable jewels, and they are always crowded with living entities known as Nagas and Asuras, as well as many pigeons, parrots, and similar birds. All in all, these imitation heavenly cities are most beautifully situated and attractively decorated. Text 10. The parks and gardens in the artificial heavens surpass in beauty those of the upper planetary systems. Upper heavenly planets. I'll read that again. The parks and gardens in the artificial heavens surpass in beauty those of the upper heavenly planets. The trees in those gardens, embraced by creepers, bend with a heavy burden of twigs with fruits and flowers, and therefore they appear extraordinarily beautiful. The beauty that could attract anyone and make his mind fully blossom in the pleasure of sense gratification, that beauty could attract anyone and make his mind fully blossom in the pleasure of sense gratification. There are many lakes and reservoirs with clear, transparent water, agitated by jumping fish and decorated with many flowers such as lilies, kuvalayas, kalaras, and blue and red lotuses. Pairs of chakravakas and many other water birds nest in the lakes and always enjoy in a happy mood, making sweet, pleasing vibrations that are very satisfying and conducive to enjoyment of the senses. Since there is no sunshine in those subterranean planets, time is not divided into days and nights. And consequently, fear produced by time does not exist. Text 12. Many great serpents reside there with gems on their hoods, and the effulgence of these gems dissipates the darkness in all directions. Since the residents of these planets drink and bathe in juices and elixirs made from wonderful herbs, they are freed from all anxieties and physical diseases. They have no experience of gray hair, wrinkles, or invalidity. Their bodily lusters do not fade. Their perspiration does not cause a bad smell. And they are not troubled by fatigue or by lack of energy or enthusiasm due to old age. They live very auspiciously and do not fear death from anything but death's established time, which is the effulgence of the Sudarsan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This is the defect of material existence. Everything in the subterranean heavens is very nicely arranged. There are well-situated residential quarters. There is a pleasing atmosphere. There are no bodily inconveniences or mental anxieties. But nevertheless, those who live there have to take another birth according to karma. Persons whose minds are dull cannot understand this defect of a materialistic civilization aiming at material comforts. One may make his living conditions very pleasing for the senses, but despite all favorable conditions, one must in due course of time meet death. The members of the demoniac civilization endeavor to make their living conditions very comfortable, but they cannot check death. The influence of the Sudarsan Chakra will not allow their so-called material happiness to endure. When the Sudarsan disc enters those provinces, the pregnant wives of the demons all have miscarriages due to fear of its effulgence.
My dear King, now I shall describe to you the lower planetary systems one by one, beginning from Atala. In Atala, there is a demon, the son of Mayadhanava, named Bala, who created 96 kinds of mystic power. Some so-called yogis and swamis take advantage of this mystic power to cheat people even today. Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created 3 kinds of women, known as Swairini, Kamini, and Pumshchali. The Swairinis like to marry men from their own group. The Kaminis marry men from any group, and the Pumshchalis change husbands one after another. If a man enters the planet of Atala, these women immediately capture him and induce him to drink an intoxicating beverage made with the drug known as Hataka, cannabis indica. This intoxicant endows the man with great sexual prowess, of which the women take advantage for enjoyment. A woman will enchant him with attractive glances, intimate words, smiles of love, and then embraces. In this way, she induces him to enjoy sex with her to her full satisfaction. Because of his increased sexual power, the man thinks himself stronger than 10,000 elephants and considers himself most perfect. Indeed, illusioned and intoxicated by false pride, he thinks himself God, ignoring impending death. The next planet below Atala is Vitala, wherein Lord Shiva, who is known as the master of gold mines, lives with his personal associates, the ghosts and similar living entities. Lord Shiva, as the progenitor, engages in sex with Bhavani, the progenitress, to produce living entities, and from the mixture of their vital fluid, the river named Hathaki is generated. When fire, being made to blaze by the wind, drinks of this river and then sizzles and spits it out, it produces gold called Hathaka. The demons who live on that planet with their wives decorate themselves with various ornaments made from that gold, and thus they live there very happily. Purport, it appears that when Bhava and Bhavani, Lord Shiva and his wife, unite sexually, the emulsification of their secretions creates a chemical which, when heated by fire, can produce gold. It is said that the alchemists of the medieval age tried to prepare gold from base metal, and Srila Sanatana Goswami also states that when bell metal is treated with mercury, it can produce gold. Srila Sanatana Goswami mentions this in regard to the initiation of low-class men to turn them into brahmanas. Sanatana Goswami said, Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatvam jayate nradam. As one can transform kamsa, or bell metal, into gold by treating it with mercury, one can also turn a low-born man into a brahmana by initiating him properly into Vaishnava activities. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to turn lechas and yavanas into real brahmanas by properly initiating them and stopping them from engaging in meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. One who stops these four principles of sinful activity and chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can certainly become a pure brahmana through the process of bona fide initiation, as suggested by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Apart from this, if one takes a hint from this verse and learns how to mix mercury with bell metal by properly heating and melting them, one can get gold very cheaply. The alchemists of the medieval age tried to manufacture gold, but they were unsuccessful, perhaps because they did not follow the right instructions. 18. Below the planet of Vitala is another planet known as Sutala, where the great son of Maharaj Virochana, Bali Maharaj, who is celebrated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as the son of Aditi and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 paces of land, but taking all of the 3 worlds. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent king Indra. Even now, Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttama Shloka, he who is worshipped by the best of selected Sanskrit verses. And his devotees such as Bali Maharaj are also worshipped by Punya Shloka, verses that increase one's piety. Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord, his wealth, his kingdom, and even his own body. Sarvatma Nivedane Bali. The Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj as a brahmana, beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. Although Bali Maharaj did not become poor, by donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of God, he became a successful devotee and got everything back again with the blessings of the Lord. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back by the blessings of Lord Krishna. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. 19. My dear King, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev, but one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilaswarga as a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly Supersoul, and under his direction a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is the result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. Text 20. If one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karmis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve the same freedom. Purport, it is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee, free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord, and in this way his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilava Mangal Thakur said, Mukti swayam ukalitanjali sevate sman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti, because mukti is already ready, always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 3, 177-188, describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Keha bole nam hoite hoi papa kai. Keha bole nam hoite jiva moka hoi. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridas kahina, namera e dui pol noi, namera poli Krishna poli prema upajoy. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anushangika poli namira mukti papa nash tahar drishtanta jaiche surjera prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reactions of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. E shlokera arto karo panditera gano shabe kohe tumi kaha arto vibhagano. He placed a verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas kohena jaiche surjera udar udai ha hoite arambe amera hoi kai. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night, even before the sunshine is visible. Chau preta raksha shardhir bhai hoi nash udai hoila dharma karma adi arakash. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of the night, such as disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Aiche namo doya rambe papa adhir kai udhai kaila krishna pari hoy prema doya. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is free from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tucha palo hoy nama bhasha hoyte jay mukti bhakta na loy she Krishna ka chahe dite. A devotee never accepts mukti, even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even after namabhas, or a glimpse. Freedom from sinful reactions is attained even by namabhas, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. The namabhasa stage is between that of namaparadha, or chanting the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, namabhasa, the offenses have almost stopped, and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is perfection.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama.
Text 21. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, sells himself to his devotees, such as Narada Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Great self-realized mystic yogis, such as the four Kumaras, also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the Supersoul within themselves. Purport. The Lord became Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as the lover of the Lord. Text 22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. There are two kinds of opulence. One, which results from one's karma, is material, whereas the other is spiritual. A surrendered soul who fully depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not want material opulence for sense gratification. Therefore, when a pure devotee is seen to possess exalted material opulence, it is not due to his karma. Rather, it is due to his bhakti. In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord wants him to execute service to him very easily and opulently. The special mercy of the Lord for the neophyte devotee is that he becomes materially poor. This is the Lord's mercy, because if a neophyte devotee becomes materially opulent, he forgets the service of the Lord. However, if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. Material opulence offered to the demigods causes forgetfulness of the Lord, but opulence was given to Bali Maharaj for continuing service to the Lord, which was free from any touch of Maya. Text 23. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, the Lord adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus, only Bali Maharaj's body was left, but the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the ropes of Varuna, and threw him in a cave in the mountain. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken and he was thrown into a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows.
Can I ask a question?
What?
Just in the previous verse, it mentioned that we should not see that a devotee's opulence is from his karma, but it's from his bhakti. So for oneself, if one has some sort of material opulence, should one consider that that's one's karma, or should they consider that that's some sort of spiritual reciprocation from Krishna?
Well, it really depends on your intention. If your intention is to use everything in Krishna's service, then it hardly matters one way or the other, because you won't notice the difference. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, story of the devotee who is getting really successful in developing community, and then everyone complained and saying that that's just his material karma, he's a good businessman, and besides he's attached to it. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called him in and said, I'm transferring you to another project. And the devotee said, okay, fine, I'm ready to go right now. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, okay, then you can stay. And he just wanted to check and see what his motive was.
Text 24. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he was very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple, Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Purport. Bali Maharaj was so powerful that he fought with Indra and took possession of the three worlds. Indra was certainly very advanced in knowledge, but instead of asking Vamanadeva for engagement in his service, he used the Lord to beg for material possessions that would lie finished at the end of one age of Manu. An age of Manu, which is the duration of Manu's life, is calculated to last 72 yugas. One yuga consists of 4,300,000 years, and therefore the duration of Manu's life is 309,600,000 years. The demigods possess their material opulence only until the end of the life of Manu. Time is insurmountable. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. The demigods own their material possessions only within the limits of time. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented that although Indra was very learned, he did not know how to use his intelligence properly. For instead of asking Vamanadeva to allow him to engage in his service, Indra used him to beg Bali Maharaj for material wealth. Although Indra was learned and his prime minister, Brihaspati, was also learned, neither of them begged to be able to render loving service to Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented for Indra. Text 25. Bali Maharaj said, my grandfather Pallad Maharaj is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Pallad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisingadev wanted to offer Pallad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material bondage, he thought, are obstacles. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service, and therefore such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servants. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that an unalloyed devotee should consider himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Das Anu Das Anu Das. In Vaishnava philosophy, one should not even become a direct servant. Prahlad Maharaj was offered all the blessings of an opulent position in the material world and even the liberation of merging into Brahman. But he refused all this. He simply wanted to engage in the service of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Bali Maharaj said that because his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, had rejected the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of material opulence and liberation from material bondage, he truly understood his self-interest.
Bali Maharaj said, persons like us who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. It is said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarshi Narada, Lord Shiva, and Prahlad Maharaj. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principles of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnava sincerely thinks this way and therefore never admits his exalted position. 27. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the three worlds, who is most compassionate to his own devotee, stands with club in hand at Bali Maharaj's door. When Ravana, the powerful demon, came to gain victory over Bali Maharaj, Vamadeva kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. I shall explain the character and activities of Bali Maharaj later in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Beneath the planet known as Sutala is another planet called Talatala, which is ruled by the Danava demon named Maya. Maya is known as the Acharya, master of all the Mayavis, who can invoke the powers of sorcery. For the benefit of the three worlds, Lord Shiva, who is known as Tripurari, once set fire to the three kingdoms of Maya, but later, because being pleased with him, he returned his kingdom. Since that time, Maya Danava has been protected by Lord Shiva, and therefore he falsely thinks that he need not fear the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 29. The planetary system known below Talatala is known as Mahatala. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry, the great snakes who are prominent in Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kaliya, and Shushena. The snakes in Mahatala are always disturbed by fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But although they are full of anxiety, some of them nevertheless sport with their wives, children, friends, and relatives. Purport, it is stated here that the snakes who live in the planetary system known as Mahatala are very powerful and have many hoods. They live with their wives and children and consider themselves very happy, although they are always full of anxiety because of Garuda, who comes there to destroy them. This is the way of material life. Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, he thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends, and relatives. 30. Beneath Mahatala is the planetary system known as Rasatala, which is the abode of the demoniac king, sons of Diti and Danu. They are called Punis, Nivata Kavachas, Kaliyas, and Hiranya Puravasis, those living in Hiranyapura. They are all enemies of the demigods, and they reside in holes like snakes. From birth, they are extremely powerful and cruel, and although they are proud of their strength, they are always defeated by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules all the planetary systems. When a female messenger from Indra named Sharama chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Mahatala become very afraid of Indra. Purport, it is said there, It is said that there was a great fight between these serpentine demons and Indra, the king of heaven. When the defeated demons met the female messenger, Sarama, who was chanting a mantra, they became afraid, and therefore they're living in the planet called Rasatala. Beneath Rasatala is another planetary system known as Patala, or Nagaloka, where there are many demoniac serpents, the masters of Nagaloka, such as Shankha, Kulika, Mahashankha, Shweta, Dhananjaya, Dhritarashtra, Shankachuda, Kambala, Ashvatara, and Devadatta. The chief among them is Vasuki. They are all extremely angry, and they have many, many hoods. Some snakes, 5 hoods, some 7, some 10, others 100, and others 1,000. These hoods are bedecked with valuable gems, and the light emanating from the gems illuminates the entire planetary system of Bilaswarga. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 5th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets.
Hari, hari.
Bravo. Bravissimo. Father, father. Yes, sir.
Can I ask something?
You may ask something.
In regards to the subterranean heavenly planet where Lord Shiva resides, Lord Shiva has different abodes. Like we hear also that he's on the Antariksha above. You know, he travels around with his friends, and then he's living in the subterranean planet.
Even big personalities in the material world have many places to live, and they have different offices and places they work out of and places they live out of. Uh-huh. Even rich people in this planet will have 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 places. So these personalities are like that. They've got many places.
So that's not just his permanent residence.
No.
1 second. We're waiting for the verdict from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Nothing?
No, nothing.
Okay, Prabhu?
I was wondering, for what karma, the living entities go to subterranean and the planets?
If you live in LA and you're thinking that I want to live here forever, but I want it to be a little nicer.
LA.
Yes, Prabhu?
I just appreciated the point that the sense enjoyment of the demigods is sometimes disturbed, but that of the demons in the subterranean heaven of planets is not disturbed until it's gone with no warning. So then I was thinking that means is that the disturbances are a blessing, because why would the demigods get a worse situation than they
exactly.
Do? So they're forced to, you know, have an existential realization, where the demons are just blind.
Exactly. I had the same realization that I mentioned a couple of days ago, that we should be happy for our misery.
Yeah.
It is a blessing. Any other things? Another thing.
The standard of sense enjoyment is also higher there. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is that in the description of the hellish region, there are temples, which means that the externals of, you know, religion can be there even in the most degraded and completely atheistic atmosphere. It's the temples. Well, how else could there be temples in a place where you forget about? There must be a temple to some, you know, temple to the false ego or something.
Well, maybe that's what Prabhupada means when he said the devotee doesn't care where he is, he'll go to hell and preach.
I don't know.
He built a temple, ISKCON temple?
ISKCON Bilaswar. That'll be something.
I heard that the people
you get trained up in LA first. Okay, go ahead.
didn't say there was foreigners. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the people that go to Vila Swarg are pious people, very pious, but they are very atheistic. And therefore, you know, they get, I think I heard this from Bhaktivinoda Goswami perhaps, that people who are pious but they have a sense of God, they go to the heavenly planets. And those who are very pious but they don't have any sense of God, they are totally atheistic, they go to Vila Swarg.
Okay. Yes, Havi Prabhu.
Yeah, I was impressed by the fact that the inhabitants have no fear because there's no sense of time since there's no night and day. Yeah.
It's like Las Vegas. Yeah. In the casinos, they don't have any clocks and you don't know if it's day or night. People stay in there all the time. It's very disorienting inside the casinos. Really?
Okay. Also kind of very inspired by this idea that to it's the same point that Prabhu was making, but that to enjoy without any restrictions, you know, it's like a curse. It makes you a little, it brings a little sense of detachment from material sense enjoyment. This is such a, so that's what we want to enjoy without any type of complications. But that's like the worst position in the material world.
Could you remember? Thank you. Now we're going on to the next chapter, which is the glories of Lord Ananta.
Chapter 25, the glories of Lord Ananta. Text 1. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, approximately 240,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarsana. He is always in the transcendental position because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva. He was always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamaguna or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance, as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living entity thinks, 'I am the enjoyer, and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me,' this conception of life is dictated to him by Sankarsan. Thus, the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord." Purport. There is a class of men akin to Mayavadi philosophers who misinterpret the Aham Brahmasmi and Soham Vedic mantras to mean, "I am the Supreme Brahman," and "I am identical with the Lord." This kind of false conception, in which one thinks himself the supreme enjoyer, is a kind of illusion. It is described elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, "Janasya moho yamaham mameti." As explained in the above verse, Lord Sankarsan is the predominating deity of this false conception. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, "Sarvasya chaham ridisanavishto matasmatir jnanam apohanam cha." I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Sankarsan, and when a demon thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord, the Lord keeps him in that darkness. Although such a demonic living entity is only an insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, he forgets his true position and thinks he is the Supreme Lord. Because this forgetfulness is created by Sankarsan, he is sometimes called Tamasi. The name Tamasi does not indicate that he has a material body. He is always transcendental. But because he is the supersoul of Lord Shiva, who must perform tamasic activities, Sankarsan is sometimes called Tamasi. Text 2. Shukadeva Goswami continued, This great universe, situated on one of Lord Anantadev's thousands of hoods, appears just like a white mustard seed. It is infinitesimal compared to the hood of Lord Ananta. Text 3. At the time of devastation, when Lord Anantadev desires to destroy the entire creation, he becomes slightly angry. Then, from between his two eyebrows, appears three-eyed Rudra carrying a trident. This Rudra, who is known as Sankarshan, is the embodiment of the 11 Rudras, or incarnations of Lord Shiva. He appears in order to devastate the entire creation. Purport. In each creation, the living entities are given a chance to close their business as conditioned souls. When they misuse this opportunity and do not go back home, back to Godhead, Lord Sankarshan becomes angry. The 11 Rudras, expansions of Lord Shiva, come out of Lord Sankarshan's eyebrows due to his angry mood, and all of them together devastate the entire creation. Remember when Lord Shiva was first came out of the forehead?
Yeah.
He came out to because he got angry. Lord Brahma came angry because he asked the four Kumaras to propagate, and they said, "No, no, I think we'll just stay Brahmacharis, not interested." Yeah. And then Lord Shiva came, and so his duty was to propagate. But the persons that he propagated, they started to devastate the universe. So Lord Brahma said, "Okay, we don't need that now. You go and do some austerities and wait for the time to come." So I'm just speculating that maybe this is what happened. Shiva came over here. That part, that aspect of Shiva must have come here or something. Text 4. The pink transparent toenails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessings, smear his arms with a guru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kumkum, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Purport. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra. Janmad yasya yataha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word adi means adi rasa, the original lusty feeling, which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Braja. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. I just heard Srila Prabhupada say, just the other morning, he was talking about this subject. It was in Mayapur, 1975. And he said, if you were reading about Krishna and the gopis and you feel yourself become agitated sexually, he said, you should immediately stop. He said, that means you're not ready.
Vishnu said, Hanbatonishanayadatavanayadya, Take 6. Lord Sankarsana is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities, and thus he is known as Anantadev. He is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. Purport. Anantadev's main mission is to dissolve this material creation. But he checks his anger and intolerance. This material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. After the creation, they again exercise their old propensity for lording it over the material world. These activities of the conditioned soul anger Anantadev, and he desires to destroy the entire material world. Yet because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is kind towards us and checks his anger and intolerance. Only at certain times does he express his anger and destroy the material world. 7. Shukadeva Goswami continued, the demigods, the demons, the Urugas, serpentine demigods, the Siddhas, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, and many highly elevated sages constantly offer prayers to the Lord. Because he is intoxicated, the Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes, appearing like flowers in full bloom, move to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, by the sweet vibrations emanating from his mouth. Dressed in bluish garments and wearing a single earring, he holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Appearing as white as the heavenly King Indra, he wears a golden belt around his waist, and a Vaijayanti garland of ever-fresh tulsi blossoms around his neck. Bees intoxicated by the honey-like fragrance of the tulsi flowers hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus becomes more and more beautiful. In this way, the Lord enjoys his very magnanimous pastimes. 8. If persons who are very serious about being liberated from material life hear the glories of Anantadev from the mouth of a spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession, and if they always meditate upon Sankarsana, the Lord enters the cores of their hearts, vanquishes all the dirty contamination of the material modes of nature, and cuts to pieces the hard knot within the heart, which has been tied tightly since time immemorial by the desire to dominate material nature through fruitive activities. Narada Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, always glorifies Anantadev in his father's assembly. There he sings blissful verses of his own composition, accompanied by his stringed instrument, or a celestial singer, known as Tumburu. Purport. None of these descriptions of Lord Anantadev are imaginary. They are all transcendentally blissful and full of actual knowledge. However, unless one hears them directly from a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, one cannot understand them. This knowledge is delivered to Narada by Lord Brahma, and the great saint Narada, along with his companion Tumburu, distributes it all over the universe. Sometimes the Supreme Personality of God is described as Uttama Shloka, one who is praised by beautiful poetry. Narada composes various poems to glorify Lord Ananta, and therefore the words Sam Shloka Yam Asa, praised by selected poetry, is used in this verse. The Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya belong to the disciplic succession stemming from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the spiritual master of Narada. Narada is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, all devotees in the Gaudiya Sampradaya accept the activities of Lord Ananta related in the Srimad Bhagavatam as authentic, and they are thus benefited by going back home, back to Godhead. The contamination in the heart of the conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage created by the three modes of material nature
especially the modes of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession, there is no question of his becoming purified of this contamination. Yes, sir?
I was just wondering if there's any more anything about Tumburu, that associate of the companion of Narada Muni. I don't recall hearing about him in any pastimes or anything.
Tumburu, yeah, he's mentioned here and there.
In some different pastimes?
Well, just in various places, if you search for Tumburu, you'll find several places in the Bhagavatam that his name is mentioned. I asked Dravida about him. I don't remember what he said exactly. But there's not some... I don't remember a treasure trove of Puranic information about Tumburu. That's why here, it's sort of like an obscure thing. He mentions Tumburu and then he says his stringed instrument or a celestial singer known as Tumburu.
It's mentioned briefly in the first canto.
First canto, briefly?
Narada says that I got this string instrument from the Lord, something about it being transcendental, and I play the seven notes on it.
Something, something, something.
Chapter. One verse.
Something, something.
Rupa Goswami describes in his Namastika, at the end of his Namastika, that,
we'd like to know, who is this Tumburu, and where does he live?
Well, it doesn't say where he lives, and it doesn't mention him by the name of Tumburu, but he says, O enlivener of Narada's Veena. So sometimes the instrument is called a Veena sometimes, and Tumburu sometimes.
He's right in that same category with Vishvaksena.
Where's the Tumburu
Das? Vishvaksena Katasaya. Who is Vishvaksena?
Vishvaksena is mentioned in a lot of Vedic mantras.
I know. But good luck finding a lot. That's Havi Prabhu, yes? Okay.
Well, since Narada has a spiritual body, that's concluded. Many times Prabhupada mentions that. And, you know, a person who on that level, he's taking an instrument, it's obviously personified somewhere, you know.
There you have
it. Flood of the waves of sweet nectar. This is talking about the holy name.
That's Narada.
We'll hope to find out someday.
This is Rupa Goswami talking about the holy name. He says, O enlivener of Narada's Veena, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please forever manifest yourself on my tongue with all your nectarian sweetness.
Fantastic. O Tumburu, where art thou? Text 9. By his glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the cause of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless, and although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? Purport. From Vedic literature we learn that when the Supreme Lord glances, sa'aikshata, over the material energy, the three modes of material nature become manifest and create material variety. Before he glances over the material energy, there is no possibility of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world. The Lord existed before the creation, and consequently, he is eternal and unchanging. Therefore, how can any human being, however great a scientist or philosopher he may be, understand the ways of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following quotations from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, tell of the glories of Lord Ananta. Ki Brahma, Ki Shiva, Shi Shakadi Kumar, Vyasa Shuka Naradhari Bhakta Nama Char. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Vyasadev, Shukadev Goswami, and Narada are all pure devotees, eternal servants of the Lord. Sabhara Pujita Shri Ananda Mahashoy, Sahasra Vadana Prabhu Bhakti Rasamoy. Lord Sri Ananta is worshipped by all the uncontaminated devotees mentioned above. He has thousands of hoods and is the reservoir of all devotional service. Adideva Mahajogi Ishvara Vaishnava Mahimar Anta Iha Na Janeha Shabo. Lord Ananta is the original person and the great mystic controller. At the same time, he is a servant of God, a Vaishnav. Since there is no end to his glories, no one can understand him fully. Shebana shunila eba shuna takur rala. Atma tantre jena mate visha shinapatala. I have already spoken to you of his service to the Lord. Now hear how the self-sufficient Anantadeva exists in the lower planetary system of Patala. Bearing his stringed instrument, the Tumbaru, on his shoulders, the great sage Narada Muni always glorifies Lord Ananta. Narada Muni has composed many transcendental verses in praise of the Lord. Simply due to the glance of Lord Ananta, the three material modes of nature interact and produce creation, maintenance, and annihilation. These modes of nature appear again and again.
You're getting all these big comments.
The Lord is glorified. What does it mean?
You've got these lessons.
The Lord is glorified as one without a second and as the Supreme Truth who has no beginning. Therefore, he is called Anantadeva, unlimited. Who can understand him? His form is completely spiritual and he manifests it only by his mercy. All the activities in this material world are conducted only in his form. He is very powerful and always prepared to please his personal associates and devotees. If we simply try to engage in the congregational chanting of the glories of Lord Anantadeva, the dirty things in our hearts accumulated during many births will immediately be washed away. Therefore, a Vaishnava never loses an opportunity to glorify Anantadeva. Lord Anantadeva is known as Shesha, the unlimited end, because he ends our passage through this material world. Simply by chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. On his head, Anantadeva sustains the entire universe with its millions of planets containing enormous oceans and mountains. He is so large and powerful that this universe rests on one of his hoods, just like a drop of water. He does not know where it is. While bearing the universe on one of his hoods, Anantadeva chants the glories of Krishna with each one of his thousand mouths. Although he has been chanting the glories of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, he has still not come to their end. To this very day, Lord Ananta continues to chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still he finds no end to them. Text 10. This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Purport, Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of God is the cause of all causes. It is by his will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodak ocean.
Text 11.
Even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's name jokingly or by chance, he and anyone who hears him are freed from all sins. Therefore, how can anyone seeking disentanglement from the material clutches avoid chanting the name of Lord Shesha?
Shesha.
What did I say? Oh, Shesha. I thought you were saying I mispronounced it. I thought I said Shisha or something. Of whom else should one take shelter? Text 12.
Shesha.
Shesha. Shesha. Shesha. Shesha. Shesha. Shesha.
Shesha.
Shesha. Because the Lord is unlimited, no one can estimate his power. This entire universe, filled with its many great mountains, rivers, oceans, trees, and living entities, is resting just like an atom on one of his many thousands of hoods. Is there anyone, even with thousands of tongues, who can describe his glories? 13. There is no end to the great and glorious qualities of that powerful Lord Anantadeva. Indeed, his prowess is unlimited. Though self-sufficient, he himself is the support of everything. He resides beneath the lower planetary systems and easily sustains the entire universe. 14. My dear King, as I heard of it from my spiritual master, I have fully described to you the creation of this material world according to the fruitive activities and desires of the conditioned souls. Those conditioned souls who are full of material desires achieve various situations in different planetary systems, and in this way they live within this material creation. Purport. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi karma pali pari bhava nava jale tari bari na dekhi upaya. My Lord, I do not know when I commenced my material life, but I can certainly experience that I have fallen in the deep ocean of nations. Now I can also see that there is no other way to get out of it than to take shelter of your lotus feet. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers the following prayer. Ainan mitanuja king karam patitamam bishame babam budau kripaya patavapada pankajas titaduli sabhisham vachintaya. My dear Lord, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other, I have fallen into this ocean of nations. Kindly, therefore, save me from this horrible condition of materialistic life. Text 15. My dear King, I have thus described how people generally act according to their different desires, and as a result, get different types of bodies in higher and lower planets. You inquired of these things from me, and I have explained to you whatever I have heard from authorities. What shall I speak now? Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 25th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta.
And that brings us to the cow break. We'll be back here at 15 after. See you then for the hellish planets.
Starting off with text number 1. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami, my dear sir, why are the living entities put into different material situations? Kindly explain this to me. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the different hellish planets within this universe are held slightly above the Garbhadak ocean and remain situated there. This chapter describes how all sinful persons go to these hellish planets and how they are punished there by the assistance of Yamaraj. Different individuals with different bodily features enjoy or suffer various reactions according to their past deeds. 2. The great sage Shukadev Goswami said, my dear King, in this material world there are three kinds of activities, those in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Because all people are influenced by the three modes of material nature, the result of their activities are also divided into three. One who acts in the mode of goodness is religious and happy. One who acts in passion achieves mixed misery and happiness. And one who acts under the influence of ignorance is always unhappy and lives like an animal. Because of the varying degrees to which the living entities are influenced by the different modes of nature, their destinations are also of different varieties. 3. Just as by executing various pious activities one achieves different positions in heavenly life, by acting impiously one achieves different positions in hellish life. Those who are activated by the material modes of ignorance engage in impious activities, and according to the extent of their ignorance, they are placed in different grades of hellish life. If one acts in the mode of ignorance because of madness, his resulting misery is the least severe. One who acts impiously but knows the distinction between pious and impious activities is placed in a hell of intermediate severity. And for one who acts impiously and ignorantly because of atheism, the resultant hellish life is the worst. Because of ignorance, every living entity has been carried by various desires into thousands of different hellish planets. Since a time immemorial, I shall try to describe them as far as possible. 4. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places on this planet?" The great sage Shukadeva Goswami answered, "All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds of the Garbhadak Ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe, beneath Bhumandala, and slightly above the water of the Garbhadak Ocean. Pitraloka is also located in this region between the Garbhadak Ocean and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitraloka, headed by Agnishvatha, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well. Purport: as previously explained, below our planetary system are seven lower planetary systems, the lowest of which is called Patala Loka. Beneath Patala are other planets known as Naraka Loka, or the hellish planets. At the bottom of the universe lies the Garbhadak Ocean. Therefore, the hellish planets lie between Patala Loka and the Garbhadak Ocean."
Question?
I thought this was a quick one. All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhadaka Ocean.
He's just saying it's in the universe, because all he asked him was, is it in the universe or somewhere else? He says, yeah, it's in the universe. Then he gets more precise after that.
Okay.
Text 6. The king of the Pitas is Yamaraj, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitriloka with his personal assistants, and while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Purport: Yamaraj is not a fictitious or mythological character. He has his own abode, Pitriloka, of which he is king. Agnostics may not believe in hell, but Shukadeva Goswami affirms the existence of the Naraka planets, which lie between the Garbhadak Ocean and Patala Loka. Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that the human beings do not violate his rules and regulations. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, "Karmano yabhi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam, dhana kamano gatihi." The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One should understand the nature of karma, vikarma, and akarma, and one must act accordingly. This is the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for sense gratification are allowed to enjoy their senses under certain regulative principles. If they violate these regulations, they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them to bring them back to Krishna consciousness. But by the influence of Maya, however, the conditioned souls remain infatuated with the mode of ignorance. Thus, in spite of repeated punishment by Yamaraj, they do not come to their senses, but continue to live within the material condition, committing sinful activities again and again. Text 7. Some authorities say that there are total Some authorities say that there is a total of 21 hellish planets, and some say 28. My dear king, I shall outline all of them according to their names, forms, and symptoms. The names of the different hells are as follows: Tamisra, Andatamisra, Rorava, Maharorava, Kumbhipaka, Kalasutra, Asipatravana, Sukarmamukha, and Andakupa, or Andakupa, Krimibhojan, Sandangshi, that sounds like a really nice one, Taptasurmi, Vajrakantaka, Shalmali, Vaitarani, Puyoda, Pranaroda, Bishasana, Lalabaksha, Sarmayadana, Avicii, Ayapana, and Chatrakardama, Rakshogana Bhojana, Shulapotra, Dandashuka, Avata Nirodhana, Paryavatarna, and Suchimukha. All these planets are meant for punishing the living entities. Text 8. My dear king, a person who appropriates another's legitimate wife, children, or money is arrested at the time of death by the fierce Yamadutas, who bind him with the rope of time and forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamisra. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved and is given no water or drink to drink. Thus, the wrathful assistants of Yamaraj cause him severe sufferings, and sometimes he faints from their chastisement. Text 9. The destination of a person who slyly cheats another man and enjoys his wife and children is the hell known as Andatamisra. There his condition is exactly like that of a tree being chopped at its roots. Even before reaching Andatamisra, the sinful living being is subjected to various extreme miseries. These afflictions are so severe that he loses his intelligence and sight. It is for this reason that learned sages call this hell Andatamisra. Text 10. A person who accepts his body as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death when he suffers the reactions for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Rorava. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetru datuke swadhi kalatrari shubhauma ijjadi yathirta buddhi salilena karichish janesh abhigeshu sa eva gokaraha. One who accepts this bodily bag of three elements, bile, mucus, and air, as his self, and who has an affinity for an intimate relationship with his wife and children, who considers his land worshipable, who takes bath in the waters of the holy places of pilgrimage, but never takes advantage of those persons who are in actual knowledge, he is no better than an ass or a cow. There are two classes of men absorbed in the material concept of life. Out of ignorance, a man in the first class thinks his body to be a self, and therefore he is certainly like an animal. Sa eva gokaraha. The person in the second class, however, not only thinks his material body to be a self, but also commits all kinds of sinful activities to maintain his body. He cheats everyone to acquire money for his family and his self, and he becomes envious of others without reason. Such a person is thrown into the hell known as Rorava. If one simply considers his body to be a self, as do the animals, he is not very sinful. However, if one needlessly commits sins to maintain his body, he is put into the hell known as Rorava. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Although animals are certainly in the bodily concept of life, they do not commit any sins to maintain their bodies, mates, or offspring. Therefore, animals do not go to hell. However, when a human being acts enviously and cheats others to maintain his body, he is put into a hellish condition.
Text 11. In this life, an envious person commits violent acts against many living entities. Therefore, after his death, when he is taken to hell by Yamaraj, those living entities who were hurt by him appear as animals called Rurus to inflict very severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Raurava. Not generally seen in this world, the Ruru is more envious than a snake. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the Ruru is also known as Bharashringha. Ati krurasya bharashringhakya sattvasya apadesha samgya. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this in his Sandarbha. Ruru shabdasya swayam muni naiva tika vidharnau lokesha pasidha evayam jantu visheshaha. Thus, although Rurus are not seen in this world, their existence is confirmed in the Shastra. 12. Punishment in hell, called Maharaurava, is compulsory for a person who maintains his body by hurting others. In this hell, Ruru animals known as Kravyada torment him and eat his flesh. Purport. The animalistic person who lives simply in the bodily concept of life is not excused. He is put into the hell known as Maharaurava and attacked by Ruru animals known as Kravyadas. 13. For the maintenance of their bodies and the satisfaction of their tongues, cruel persons cook poor animals and birds alive. Such persons are condemned even by man-eaters. In their next lives, they are carried by the Yamadutas to the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they are cooked in boiling oil. 14. The killer of a brahmana is put into the hell known as Kalasutra, which has a circumference of 80,000 miles and which is made entirely of copper. Heated from below by fire and from above by the scorching sun, the copper surface of this planet is extremely hot. Thus, the murderer of a brahmana suffers from being burned both internally and externally. Internally, he is burning with hunger and thirst, and externally, he is burning from the scorching heat of the sun and the fire beneath the copper surface. Therefore, he sometimes lies down, sometimes sits, sometimes stands up, and sometimes runs here and there. He must suffer in this way for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of an animal. 15. If a person deviates from the path of the Vedas in the absence of an emergency, the servants of Yamaraj put him into the hell called Asi Patravana, where they beat him with whips. When he runs hither and thither, fleeing from the extreme pain, on all sides he runs into palm trees with leaves like sharpened swords. Thus injured all over his body and fainting at every step, he cries out, "Oh, what shall I do now? How shall I be saved?" This is how one suffers who deviates from the accepted religious principles. Purport, there is actually only one religious principle. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The only religious principle is to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, especially in this age of Kali, everyone is an atheist. People do not even believe in God. What to speak of following his words? The words Nija Veda Pata can also mean one's own set of religious principles. Formerly, there was only one Veda Pata, or set of religious principles. Now there are many. It doesn't matter which set of religious principles one follows. The only injunction is that he must follow them strictly. An atheist, or Nastika, is one who does not believe in the Vedas. However, even if one takes up a different system of religion, according to this verse, he must follow the religious principle he has accepted. Whether one is a Hindu, or a Mohammedan, or a Christian, he should follow his own religious principles. However, if one concocts his own religious path within his mind, or if one follows no religious principles at all, he is punished in the hell known as Asipatravana. In other words, a human being must follow some religious principles. If he does not follow any religious principles, he is no better than an animal. As Kali Yuga advances, people are becoming godless and taking up so-called secularism. They do not know the punishment awaiting them is Asipatravana, as described in this verse. Text 16.
In his next life, a sinful king or governmental representative who punishes an innocent person or who inflicts corporal punishment upon a brahmana is taken by the Yamadutas to the hell named Sukaramuka, where the most powerful assistants of Yamaraj crush him exactly as one crushes sugarcane to squeeze out the juice. The sinful living entity cries very pitiably and faints, just like an innocent man undergoing punishments. This is the result of punishing a faultless person. Text 17. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. Such insignificant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful to the human being. However, first-class human beings, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, are developed in consciousness, and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man by putting him into the hell known as Andakupa, where he is attacked by all the birds and beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies, and any other creatures he tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in the darkness. Thus, in Andakupa, his suffering is just like that of a creature in the lower species. Purport. From this very instructive verse, we learn that lower animals, created by the laws of nature to disturb the human beings, are not subjected to punishment. Because the human being has developed consciousness, however, he cannot do anything against the principles of Varnashram Dharma without being condemned. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Mayashristam Punakarma Vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Thus, all men should be divided into four classes, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, and they should act according to their ordained regulations. They cannot deviate from their prescribed rules and regulations. One of these states that they should never trouble any animal, even those that disturb human beings. Although a tiger is not sinful if he attacks another animal and eats its flesh, if a man with developed consciousness does so, he must be punished. In other words, a human being who does not use his developed consciousness, but instead acts like an animal, surely undergoes punishment in many different hells. Text 18. A person is considered no better than a crow if after receiving some food, he does not divide it among guests, old men, and children, but simply eats it himself, or if he eats it without performing the five kinds of sacrifice, After death, he is put into the most abominable hell, known as Krimi Bhojan. In that hell is a lake, 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles wide and filled with worms. He becomes a worm in that lake and feeds on the other worms there, who also feed on him. Unless he atones for his actions before his death, such a sinful man remains in the hellish lake of Krimi Bhojan for as many years as there are yojanas in the width of the lake. purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yagyashishtasenaksanto Muchante Sarvakil Vishahai Mundite Tengugam Papa Yepachantiatmakarana.
Did you say Yepachanti or Yapachanti?
Yapachanti, sorry.
That's a mistake.
It's Yepachanti. Write it down. I said ye, but the word said ya. That sometimes happens, you know. You say the right thing, even if it's a, especially if it's a two-letter word.
Can't change.
It's a B or a he, and you'll it'll be it should be he, but it's B, and you'll say he because you're just that's the way it's read properly. Like
it's more poetic. Don't see more changes. Harsha
Prayo. We say it with importance.
The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is first offered in for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. All food is given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko bahunam yo vidatati kaman. The Lord supplies everyone with the necessities of life. Therefore, we should acknowledge His mercy by performing yajna, sacrifice. This is the duty of everyone. Indeed, the sole purpose of life is to perform yajna. According to Krishna, yajyartat kamanam yatra lokoyam karma bandhana adharatanam. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for His satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. If we do not perform yajna and distribute prasad to others, our lives are condemned. Only after performing yajna and distributing the prasad to all dependents, children, brahmanas, and old men, should one eat. However, one who cooks only for himself or his family is condemned along with everyone he feeds.
Whoa.
After death, he is put into the hell known as Krimi Bhojan. Text 19. My dear king, a person who in the absence of an emergency robs a brahmana, or indeed anyone else, and it's so distracting what's going on over here.
So little. It's not a big deal.
My dear king, a person who in the absence of an emergency robs a brahmana or indeed anyone else of his gems. Of his gems and gold is put into a hell known as Sandangsha. There his skin is torn and separated by red hot iron balls and tongs. In this way his entire body is cut to pieces. Text 20. A man or woman who indulges in sexual intercourse with an unworthy member of the opposite sex is punished after death by the assistance of Yamaraj in the hell known as Tapta Surmi. There such men and women are beaten with whips. The man is forced to embrace a red-hot iron form of a woman, and the woman is forced to embrace a similar form of a man. Such is the punishment for illicit sex. Purport. Generally, a man should not have sexual relations with any woman other than his wife. According to Vedic principles, the wife of another man is considered one's mother, and sexual relations are strictly forbidden with one's mother, sister, and daughter. If one indulges in illicit sexual relations with another man's wife, that activity is considered identical with having sex with one's mother. This act is most sinful. The same principle holds for a woman also. If she enjoys sex with a man other than her husband, the act is tantamount to having sexual relations with her father or son. Illicit sex life is always forbidden, and any man or woman who indulges in it is punished in the manner described in this verse.
21. A person who indulges in sex indiscriminately, even with animals, is taken after death to the hell known as Vajrakantaka Shalmali. In this hell, there is a silk cotton tree full of thorns as strong as thunderbolts. The agents of Yamaraj hang the sinful man on the tree and pull him down forcibly so that the thorns very severely tear his body. Purport. The sexual urge is so strong that sometimes a man indulges in sexual relations with a cow, or a woman indulges in sexual relations with a dog. Such men and women are put into the hell known as Vajrakantaka Shalmali. The Krishna conscious movement forbids illicit sex. From the description of these verses, we can understand what an extremely sinful act illicit sex is. Sometimes people disbelieve these descriptions of hell, but whether one believes or not, everything must be carried out by the laws of nature, which no one can avoid. 22. A person who is born into a responsible family, such as a kshatriya, a member of royalty, or a government servant, but who neglects to execute his prescribed duties according to religious principles, and who thus becomes degraded, falls down at the time of death into the river of hell known as Vaitarani. This river, which is a moat surrounding hell, is full of ferocious aquatic animals. When a sinful man is thrown into the river Vaitarani, the aquatic animals there immediately begin to eat him. But because of his extremely sinful life, he does not leave his body. He constantly remembers his sinful activities and suffers terribly in that river, which is full of stool, urine, pus, blood, hair, nails, bones, marrow, flesh, and fat. 23. The shameless husbands of low-born Shudra women live exactly like animals, and therefore they have no good behavior, cleanliness, or regulated life. After death, such persons are thrown into the hell called Puyoda, where they are put into an ocean filled with pus, stool, urine, mucus, saliva, and similar things. Shudras who could not improve themselves fall into that ocean and are forced to eat those disgusting things. Purport, Srila Nartam Das Thakur is sung Karma Kanda Gyana Kanda Kiva Lavishera Banda Amrita Bolya Jiva Kai Nana Yoni Sada Pire Kadharya Bhakshana Kari Tar Janma Ada Pate Jai. He says that persons following the paths of Karma Kanda and Gyana Kanda, fruit of activities and speculative thinking, are missing the opportunities for human birth and gliding down into the cycle of birth and death. Thus, there is always the chance that he may be put into the Puyoda Naraka, the hell named Puyoda, where one is forced to eat stool, urine, pus, mucus, saliva, and other abominable things. It is significant that this verse is spoken especially about Shudras. If one is born a Shudra, he must continually return to the ocean of Puyoda to eat horrible things. Thus, even a born Shudra is expected to become a Brahmana. Very interesting. No slackers allowed in the universe. You go down to the bottom there, you got to pick yourself up, otherwise you get a little reminder in the next life. That is the meaning of human life. Everyone should improve himself. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanyam Vayashrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, four divisions of human society were created by me. Even if one is by qualification a Shudra, he must try to improve his position and become a Brahmana. No one should try to check a person, no matter what his present position is, from coming to the platform of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. No checking. That's a bogus proposition to propose that people are permanently unqualified for any position. Actually, one must come to the platform of a Vaishnava. Then he automatically becomes a Brahmana. This can be done only if the Krishna consciousness movement is spread, for we are trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Vaishnava. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mami kam sharanam braja. Abandon all duties and simply surrender unto me. Abandon all other duties and simply surrender unto me. one must give up the occupational duties of a Shudra, Kshatriya, or Vaishya and adopt the occupational duties of a Vaishnava, which include the activities of a Brahmana. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita 9:32. Mami Partha Vyapashritya Ye Pisu Papayonaya Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras Te Piyanti Parangatim. O son of Bhrata, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. Human life is specifically meant for going back home, back to Godhead. That facility should be given to everyone, whether one is a Shudra, a Vaishya, a woman, or a Kshatriya. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. However, if one is satisfied to remain a Shudra, he must suffer, as described in this verse, Tad eva ti bhi patsitvam ashnanti. 24. If in this life a man of the higher classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, is very fond of taking his pet dogs, mules or asses, into the forest to hunt and kill animals unnecessarily, he is placed, after death, into the hell known as Pranarodha. There the assistants of Yamaraj make him their targets and pierce him with arrows. Purport. In the Western countries, especially aristocrats, keep dogs and horses to hunt animals in the forest. Whether in the West or in the East, aristocratic men in the Kali Yuga adopt the fashion of going to the forest and unnecessarily killing animals. Men in the higher classes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, should cultivate knowledge of Brahman. And they should also give the Shudras a chance to come to that platform. If instead they indulge in hunting, they are punished as described in this verse. Not only are they pierced by arrows by the agents of Yamaraj, but they are also put into the ocean of pus, urine, and stool, described in the previous verse. 25. A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vishasana after death. There, the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 6:41, Krishna says, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Because of his previous connection with Bhakti Yoga, a man is born into a prestigious family of Brahmanas or aristocrats. Having taken such a birth, one should utilize it to perfect Bhakti Yoga. However, due to bad association, one often forgets that his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yajnas like Kali Puja and Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. How such a person is punished is described herein. The word Dumba Jagneshu in this verse is significant. If one violates the Vedic instructions while performing yajna and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punishable after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that has supposedly been offered in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. The Shastras enjoin that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere is it said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. Those who do so receive the punishment described herein.
Text 26.
If a foolish member of the twice-born classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, forces his wife to drink his semen out of a lusty desire to keep her under control, he is put after death into the hell known as Lala Baksha. There he is thrown into a flowing river of semen, which he is forced to drink. Purport. The practice of forcing one's wife to drink one's own semen is a black art practiced by extremely lusty persons. Those who practice this very abominable activity say that if a wife is forced to drink her husband's semen, she remains very faithful to him. Generally, only low-class men engage in this black art. But if a man born in a higher class does so, after death, he is put into the hell known as Lala Baksha. There he is immersed in the river known as Shukra Nadi and forced to drink semen. Text 27. In this world, some persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Saramayadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. Purport. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in this age of Kali, everyone will be extremely disturbed by three kinds of tribulations: scarcity of rain, famine, and heavy taxation by the government. Because human beings are becoming more and more sinful, there will be a scarcity of rain, and naturally, no food grains will be produced. On the plea of relieving the suffering caused by the ensuing famine, the government will impose heavy taxes, especially on the wealthy mercantile community. In this verse, the members of such a government are described as dasyu, thieves. Their main activity will be to plunder the wealth of the people. Whether a highway robber or a government thief, such a man will be punished in his next life by being thrown into the hell known as Saramayadana, where he will suffer greatly from the bites of ferocious dogs. Text 28. A person who in this life bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraj. Such a sinful man is taken to the top of a mountain 800 miles high and thrown headfirst into the hell known as Avichimat. Avichimat. This hell has no shelter and is made of strong stone resembling the waves of water. There is no water there, however, and thus it is called Avichimat, waterless. Although the sinful man is repeatedly thrown from the mountain and his body broken into pieces, he still does not die, but continuously suffers chastisement. 29. Any brahmana or brahmana's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agent of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also awaits any Kshatriya Vaishya or person under a vow who in illusion drinks Somarasa. In Nayakpana, the agent of Yamaraj stand on their chests and pour hot melted iron into their mouths. Purport. One should not be a brahmana in name only and engage in all kinds of sinful activities, especially drinking liquor. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas must behave according to the principles of their order. If they fall down to the level of Shudras, who are accustomed to drink liquor, they will be punished as described herein. Text 30. A low-born and abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, "I am great," and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he, by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order, is like a dead man, even in this lifetime. And after death, he is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Charakardama. There he must suffer great tribulation in the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. Purport. One should not become falsely proud. One must be respectful toward a person more elevated than he by birth, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order. If one does not show respect...
Birth means age?
What?
By birth is age?
So by birth, birth, education,
mean,
behavior...
Age class, I think. Or is it class?
Yeah, it means class.
Sanskrit is jana.
Yeah, jana. Birth means class. One should not become falsely proud. One must be respectful toward a person more elevated than he by birth, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order. If one does not show respect to such highly elevated persons, but indulges in false pride, he receives punishment in Charakardama.
There are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Bhairava or Bhadrakali and then eat their victim's flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraj, where their victims, having taken the form of Rakshasas, cut them to pieces with sharpened swords. Just as in this world the man-eaters drink their victim's blood, dancing and singing in jubilation, their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrificers and celebrating in the same way. 32. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest, and after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Shulaprotha, where their bodies are pierced with sharp, needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. Said pretty entangling. Animals can be really entangling. I just thinking about Bharat Maharaj and several devotees asked, so what should we have done? What should he have done ideally? Not take care of the deer or what? And I was just thinking that material world is so entangling. You know, one way men get attached to women, woman's in distress, so I had to help her. And next thing, you know, he has some relationship you can't get out of. Animals too, you know, present themselves as helpless sometimes, but if it's not your duty, then, Bharat Maharaj, you asked the question, right? I mean, Bharat Maharaj really wasn't his business. You could take the animal and take it to the, what is it called? Humane Society.
You can have water.
But then the Humane Society might decide to euthanize it. It's complicated. You know, you take the animal in, can you take care of this animal? And then they say, you know, it's not going to survive anyway, we'll have to kill it. Then you're implicated in that kind of thing. People get attached to animals and then they end up nowadays spending tens of thousands of dollars for expensive, they put stents in their heart, they put
stents.
They put
all kinds, every
kind of surgery you can imagine for a human being that's done for animals now too. And, you know, people will spend their life savings to save little Sparky.
Right around the corner from the Houston Temple, there's a country club for animals. Literally a country club for animals.
So it's unlimitedly entangling. I mean, it's something we learned from the Bharat Maharaj story and also This concept of like what should Bharat Maharaj have done? Probably nothing. I mean, to be a yogi, just observe how the energy of the material nature is working and not get involved. Mm. Why is it his business to get involved? Why does he have to jump up and fix it? In the example with Rupa Goswami, man drowning under a bridge, do you save him or don't save him? If people are watching and you don't save him, then they'll think, what kind of Vaishnava are you?
Yeah.
Of course, for a human being, Vaishnava will be much more caring, or even for animals too, but you got to be really careful because you could become entangled really easily. So once he did save him, what's he going to do? You got to take care of him then.
Often it's going to bite you.
It'll bite you. When I was a kid, my parents read the story about this. You know, it was a farm life, and they brought a raccoon in, saved it from a storm or something. They raised it up, took care of it. They all got really attached. They were sitting on the porch one night, and then there was a call of other raccoons out in the wild. The raccoon just jumped off and ran off the porch and he was gone. They don't care.
Listen to this one. So there was a guy. No, this is
this is a thing. This is a real thing.
It's a real thing. There it goes. There it goes. So there's a guy who adopted a cobra as a pet and used to go wherever it was around with a cobra around his neck. So he was driving down the street one day and the cobra just went like this, hood up, and just clamped him right here.
Clamped him one right on the nose.
Right here. You know, couldn't. So he somehow or other got to the phone and I don't know how, somehow or other he pushed the emergency.
Don't text and drive.
Whatever. And they came, and there he was, you know, in the car still, with the cobra still clamped on
stuck
his
in
nose.
His nose.
Yeah, and of course the venom was going through his body, and he was, you know, probably dying. And they got him to a hospital, and I don't know if he lived or not. I don't remember. Can you imagine? I mean, stupid is
it's a great
that
story.
Stupid does. Stupid is that stupid, stupid does. Is.
Well, there you have it. I'm glad I brought it up. 33. Those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Dandashuka. My dear king, in this hell there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons just as snakes eat mice. 34. Those who in this life confine other living entities in dark wells, granaries, or mountain caves are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark wells where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them and they suffer very severely. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances as if to burn them to ashes is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. Purport, according to the Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he has come to the home of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes. With unblinking eyes, for one who does so will be put into the hell known as Paryavartana after death. And there are many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, and
Chokneys.
Say what? Will suddenly come upon him and pluck out his eyes.
36.
One who in this world or in this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth, and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth. Purport. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, He will spend it lavishly, without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age, there are no qualified brahmanas, kshatriyas, or vaishyas. Almost everyone is a shudra, kalo, shudra, sambhava. Therefore, the shudra mentality is causing great harm to human, to modern civilization. A shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram, I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances, and I am the owner of all the planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless one does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possessions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life, as described herein. Text 37. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to earth after the result of their pious or impious acts are exhausted. Purport. This corresponds to the beginning of Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Tathati Hantara Prapti. Within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Urdvam Gacchanti Satvasta. Those in the mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Ado Gacchanti Tamasaha. Similarly, those too engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that even one who is very pious returns to earth after his enjoyment in the higher planetary systems is over. Chine punye marchalokam pishanti. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problems of life. The problems of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept a material body. This can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva deham punar janma naiti mam iti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the perfection of life, and the real solution to life's problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of the material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvadharman puritchaja mamikam sharanam vraja. One should be neither pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Even a child can perform it. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madjaji mam namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once you become Krishna's devotee, worship Him and offer obeisances to Him. Thus one should engage all the activities of his life in the service of Lord Krishna. Text 38. In the beginning, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. In the Puranas, the vast universal existence, which is like an egg divided into 14 parts, is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord, created by his energy and qualities. It is generally called the Virat Rupa. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others to propagate Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this consciousness is very difficult, by this process, one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help one save himself from material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. Text 39. One who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation and is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called yati, or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, after hearing of both forms. Thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. Purport. It is said, Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimukte. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, he should associate with Mahatmas, or liberated devotees, because in such association there is full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. On the path of bondage, one eternally undergoes the repetition of birth and death. One who desires liberation from such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees and also explain it to propagate Krishna Consciousness. Text 40. My dear King, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems, and their lands, varshas, rivers, and mountains. I have also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virat Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which the living entities repose. Thus I have explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 26th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Hellish Planets. There is a supplementary note
Good.
Daily double.
Completed in Honolulu Temple on the of the Panchadhapa, June 5th, 1975. There's a supplementary note written by His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada in his Gaudiya Bhasha. His translation is as follows. Learned scholars who have full knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures agree that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are innumerable. These incarnations are classified into two divisions called Prabhava and Vaibhava. According to the scriptures, Prabhava incarnations are also classified in two divisions, those which are called eternal and those which are not vividly described. In this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapters 3 through 6, there is a description of Rishabhadeva, but there is not an expanded description of his spiritual activities. Therefore, he is considered to belong to the second group of Prabhava incarnations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, verse 13, it is said, Ashtame Medudevyam tu nabhirjata urukrama darshayan vartmadhiranam sarvashrama namaskritam. Lord Vishnu appeared in the eighth incarnation as the son of Maharaj Nabhi, the son of Agnidra, and his wife Merudevi. He showed the path of perfection, the Paramahamsa stage of life, which is worshipped by all the followers of Varnashrama Dharma. Rishabhadeva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his body is spiritual, Sakchidananda Vigraha. Therefore, one might ask how it might be possible that he passed stool and urine. The Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya Baladev Budbhushan has replied to this question in his book known as Siddhanta Ratna, the first portion, text 65 through 68. Imperfect men call attention to Rishabhadev's passing stool and urine as a subject matter for the study of non-devotees who do not understand the spiritual position of a transcendental body. In this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.11, the illusioned and bewildered state of the materialist of this age is fully described. Elsewhere in fifth canto 5.5.19, Rishabhadeva stated, Idam sharina mama durvibhavyam. This body of mine is inconceivable for materialists. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajanati mam buddha manushim tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. The human form of the Supreme Personality of God is extremely difficult to understand, and in fact, for a common man, it is inconceivable. Therefore, Rishabhadeva has directly explained that his own body belongs to the spiritual platform. This being so, Rishabhadeva did not actually pass stool and urine. Even though he superficially seemed to pass stool and urine, that was also transcendental and cannot be imitated by any common man. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the stool and urine of Rishabhadeva were full of transcendental fragrance. One may imitate Rishabhadeva, but he cannot imitate him passing stool that is fragrant. The activities of Rishabhadeva, therefore, do not support the claims of a certain class of men known as Arhat, who sometimes advertise that they are followers of Rishabhadeva. How can they be followers of Rishabhadeva while they act against the Vedic principles? Shukadeva Goswami has related that after hearing about the characteristics of Lord Rishabhadeva, the king of Konka, Venka, and Kutak, initiated a system of religious principles known as Arhat. These principles were not in accord with Vedic principles, and therefore they are called Pashanda Dharma. The members of the Arhat community considered Rishabhadeva's activities material. However, Rishabhadeva is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is on the transcendental platform, and no one can compare to him.
Really? Sure you want to?
Okay. Rishabhadeva personally exhibited the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dava nalas tadvanam alile hana sahatena dadaha. At the conclusion of Rishabhadeva's pastimes, an entire forest and the Lord's body were burned to ashes. in a great forest fire. In the same way, Rishabhadev burned people's ignorance to ashes. He exhibited the characteristics of a Paramahansa in his instructions to his sons. The principles of the Arhat community, however, do not correspond to the teachings of Rishabhadev. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan remarks that Rishabhadev, described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is different from the one described in this canto. End of the 5th canto.
Tomorrow is a Jamil. This is how you get out of hellish life. Tomorrow. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.
Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Hey! Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman.